Hello, it's me, your host, Dara Lane Sussman. I'm just popping in to tell you that it's me, Dara Lane Sussman, because I forgot to say that at the top of the episode. And also, I just wanted to remind you that we've got a Patreon if you'd like to join it. Lady, do you remember this, obviously? And, you know, follow the podcast on Instagram and TikTok and rate, review, subscribe. You know the drill, unless you're new here and then you don't. All right, well, let's start the episode.
Give me what I need.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Lee, Do You Remember This? And I'm joined by my illustrious co-host, Kelsey Lawrence. Say hello to everyone.
Hello, everybody. I'm so happy to be here on this kind of spring-like day, except for LA. So sorry.
No, it's quite gray out in LA, just like the industry right now. There's an existential ennui just pulsing throughout the city of angels, and we're just trying to hold on.
That is getting my senses are tingling. I love to hear it.
Shall we jump in to our new segment?
Let's
today
do
in Y2K.
Also, might I add, a very wholesome sort of entry in itself.
Oh, the most wholesome. I really love this one. When I was scrolling through trying to find something, this one just spoke to me. It just jumped off the page. This is from TMZ.com as opposed to TMZ.org, I guess. TMZ.com, titled Reese with Her Spoon, from March 16th, 2007. They write, the legally blonde mom was snapped yesterday with adorable son Deacon in Westwood, enjoying the new yogurt craze, Pinkberry. Despite an avalanche of gossip surrounding Reese and Ryan's split, including rumors of her possible hookup with co-star Jake Gyllenhaal, Reese, like Pinkberry, remains a pillar of creamy, sweet and tart frozen goodness. Yummy! This spoke to me because Pinkberry in 2007 was my holy grail. And I was in New Hampshire, not a Pinkberry to be found. And I remember the first time I went to New York City. It wasn't the first time I'd been to New York City. Like, I'm very cultured. I went to New York and I finally got to have Pinkberry for the first time. I do believe I have a picture of it on my Facebook somewhere. It was such a momentous occasion. Do you remember the Pinkberry craze?
Here's where I confess. I actually don't think I know of Pinkberry. I know the spot it occupies in Froyo history, but I've actually never been to Pinkberry, which feels crazy to admit.
And you know what? Ultimately, it's not that good.
Really?
I don't remember how I felt about it when I got it. I think I was just really excited that it was low calorie, and was just like, oh, a frozen treat. And I'm doing something trendy that all my other friends in New Hampshire haven't done. But looking back now, it's just like tart. It's truly frozen yogurt. Do you remember, what was it called? They ate it on Sex and the City. And this was actually really good. It was like, oh, Tasty Delight.
Have you ever had Tasty Delight? I don't think so.
Okay. I don't know if they still exist in New York.
Oh, whoa. Okay. Do you happen to remember if it is D without an E, like D-Light?
It's D-Light, yeah.
Okay.
D. So it was on an episode of Sex and the City, and it was an even bigger deal to me than Pinkberry because it tasted like ice cream-ish, and somehow it was like 70 calories for a large.
Wow.
So like whatever sort of chemical, like it was probably just cancer in a cup. For sure. just like mathematically something should not be like 70 calories when it's covered in sprinkles and yet it is. I was just living my life as an early 2000s girl trying to find the lowest calorie treat.
This makes you very authentically of that time. I feel like I was not indulging in the froyo lifestyle nearly enough. I think there was like, would this have been, probably like high school years, I'm guessing for us, middle school, high school, I gotta forget. But yeah. I feel like boba tea was like, that was like where teens would gather, but there just wasn't like a froyo place. So I kind of missed out on that whole swath of dessert, popular girl energy.
We didn't really have frozen yogurt in New Hampshire. Like in New Hampshire, you're eating full ass fat. Okay. And you're getting an extra large and you are putting a candy bar on it. Okay.
Yeah.
We do not have Southern accents in New Hampshire, but you get the idea.
The vibe, yeah.
Whenever I would go to New York City to like visit a friend in college, it was really just a pilgrimage to peruse the frozen yogurt offerings that beautiful city has to offer.
I'm very happy to tell you the Tasty Delight does have a location. It's on 3rd Ave in Manhattan. I'm going to try to go as soon as I can. It looks like it's still like alive, kicking, doing really well.
Please report back. Boots on the ground.
I think I'm forgetting this term, gumshoe reporting. Is that when a reporter hits the streets?
If you want to do, a woman on the street, a camera, a selfie stick.
I could do that. And also, I mean, Tasty Delight might be like banging business-wise, but because I have not heard of them, I'm going to perhaps incorrectly assume that they could use the boost in business or like, social media attention. Not that I have a following.
You might not have much of a following now on Instagram, but you pump out some Tasty D content and people will flock.
Finally, after all these years of trying and trying, I found my key.
You can never give up. You never know what content's going to hit.
It's true. And this was a wholesome, I didn't mean to totally side rail us from Reese, but this was a really nice, and it reminded me of like that time. And then I looked up like when she and Ryan divorced and then like her relationship with Jake Gyllenhaal. So it was a nice little rabbit hole to go down.
As much as I love Reese, of course, the whole point was truly just the froyo. Just to have a memory of the dessert crazes of the early 2000s. Do we have dessert crazes like we used to anymore? I feel like we don't, because there was also the cupcake craze.
I feel like I could speak or at least like wonder for 3 hours about this. So I feel like there's like so many dessert angles to touch on. Wasn't there a place in LA that was called like 100 milkshakes or something like that?
Millions of milkshakes. Millions of not just 100, millions.
I would have loved to have gone.
Millions of milkshakes was also, that was my great white whale of, as far as like desserts go, of wanting to visit. I never got there. It closed before I ever came to LA. Now, hot tea, piping hot tea. There is a conspiracy theory that Millions of Milkshakes was basically a front for celebrity sex trafficking.
Wow. Whoa. Why? How? Not to be born yesterday.
This is not exactly a topic where it's like, come on, Kelsey, you don't know about the conspiracy theory that Millions of Milkshakes was a sex trafficking ring for celebrities. I don't think there's like a ton out there about it. I think the most I've seen is, of course, in the annals of Reddit, but it was something like the celebrity women who would do appearances, that was their way of essentially like laundering the money that they made going overseas to like the Middle East and having sex with like billionaire oil money people. So I think it was somehow like Millions of Milkshakes paid them through, their stamp check. Millions of Milkshakes, employee, here's your W-9. It would really be the money being laundered from the Middle East for their escorting.
This is a great explanation. I'm going to say, I believe it.
Listen, if other people get to believe that there's tracking chips in our vaccines, then I get to believe Millions of Milkshakes was a sex trafficking ring.
Yeah. Okay. Crazier things have happened. There is a kind of famously a rice pudding place in Soho that has like a really crazy exterior.
Kelsey, I was literally a second ago about to ask you, had you heard of this place? It was another pilgrimage I made for a dessert because I had seen it on Ellen. I went there in like 2009 or 10.
Oh my God. So you were like ground floor in on the early popularity of, or maybe just like the peak of popularity for, I think it's Rice to Riches is the name.
Right. Yep. Yep. Yep.
It's a great name. But did you know that it was, I think, officially a money laundering fraud?
No.
Which kind of supports, I think, maybe I shouldn't say officially. I don't want to get us in legal trouble, but it was
allegedly
really important caveat. But I think the owner was in, I should look this up. He was like in the mafia, I believe. And he was running like a sports betting ring. So there's like a big connection to dessert places and money laundering, I feel.
Do you think that laundering your money through a rice pudding store is a really great idea for a money laundering business? Or like, to me, I feel like you just go, oh, I'm going to open just a run-of-the-mill ice cream shop. Something simple, under the radar. No one's getting on Ellen for just an ice cream shop, but rice pudding, like it was like too good of an idea. You can't fly under the radar when your rice pudding is that good. Now, here's one more serendipity: frozen hot chocolate. This is another celebrity endorsed treat, Oprah. It was one of her favorite things, I believe.
It was in that movie with Kate Beckinsale
and John Cusack.
I think it was called Serendipity.
Yep. But yeah, thinking of all of these dessert crazes, I feel like the last dessert craze we had that like gripped a nation, and I don't even think it really had the same gravitas as these other desserts, is the cronut.
Maybe early mid-2000s was like definitely like dessert time, but it had different, sorry to say, flavors to it. There were different moods because there was like the early 2000s, pre-social media, froyo, but then it kind of turned into cupcakes. I remember those like really popping off when I was like in college, so around like 2008 kind of. And then I think it became very like visually focused on like what looks crazy on social media. And I think that like culminated / ended with the cronut.
I kind of remember when I first moved to LA, like the cronut was just popping off, like 2013. You know, they say pop culture died in 2009. I think we can inch it up to 2013. I feel like 2013 had the spirit, the early 2000s. There was still some whimsy left in us as a society. And I feel like past 2013, no one has the bandwidth to get obsessed with a dessert. You'd think that with social media, there'd be a new dessert craze every week.
Boy, could I just write a dissertation on this now that we're on this topic. I'm like, I got goosebumps. My wheels are just spinning. I think this, like, the dessert thing and the lack of a big trend just speaks to how social media just fragmented everything. The last sort of dessert trend that I can think of that wasn't as, like, singular and viral as something like the cronut, but I feel like seeing all the, like, retro cakes that popped up on Instagram a few years ago, that was, now that I'm thinking about it, maybe kind of the last dessert trend vibe. But it wasn't as like obvious and singular as the cronut, but it was like, I feel like a trend nonetheless.
Yeah, an aesthetic trend, which I suppose that is where we are as a society now. It's not about one particular place, like this place has a really great whatever, and then that spurs a host of copycats in its wake. It's, here's just a design aesthetic for a cake. Taste be damned. It's all for the gram. It's not for the experience of eating it or going out to a restaurant, getting on your own 2 feet and walking your ass over to Magnolia Bakery and standing in line with your common people. I'll say this though. Not my favorite cupcake. I would say Magnolia Bakery was like the precursor to the cupcake craze because it was featured on Sex and the City, and it was more about going to Magnolia for the Sex and the City experience. But then Sprinkles Cupcakes, based in Los Angeles, a few years later, I believe more like 2000, maybe 2005, that was the true beginning of the cupcake craze. If you watch The Girls Next Door, Bridget Marquardt, obsessed with Sprinkles Cupcakes. She's talking about it in every goddamn episode. If there's a dog birthday, if there's a human birthday, she's getting Sprinkles Cupcakes.
To your point of the whimsy thing, I do feel like 2013 is a great year for exactly what you said, because I think that like whatever the early 2000s could be described as, by the time it was like 2013, it was like kind of twee hipster, like cutesy energy. So that kind of like makes sense that that all culminated in like the cupcake.
There was something, yeah, very candy coated about the early 2000s. Like, I don't know, a delayed adulthood, or actually like wanting to return to our youth, which I guess we are still that way now with our nostalgia obsession, but days are darker, times are tough, and no, I guess we can't God, get it up for a dessert
so,
anymore.
Just like so far down like a dark, long tunnel, you know? I think, I feel like now is a time where we are really wanting to relive our youth, maybe more so than the early 2000s, because I feel like the early 2000s was so full of like sex in a way that now isn't as much. That kind of like adultified it, for better or worse. But I feel like it kind of did, like that was a definitely like a playful time that kind of like maybe reintroduced us to that. It wasn't like the 80s or 90s where everybody looked so grown up and like polished, broadly speaking.
Gen Z and Gen Alpha should really do their darndest, like come together as a collective and get dessert crazes popping off again, because they're not having sex. But oh, what I was going to say about Pinkberry, crime-wise, the owner of it, I believe, killed a homeless person.
Whoa.
Yeah, I think it was kind of like a sport killing, like a very Clockwork Orange.
There is a whole like any series to be made, it's like dessert crimes or something.
LA Times, 2014. Barry founder gets 7 years for beating. Okay, he did not kill him. The co-founder of frozen yogurt chain Pinkberry was sentenced Friday to 7 years in prison for beating a homeless man with a tire iron, an attack a Los Angeles judge declared fairly merciless and horrendous. I think we could like make the jump to just merciless, but he left the company after this happened. I never expected us to do such a gorgeous run just
on
a
lot of meat on that bone.
On dessert. I guess we can just jump into the episode now. Episode 5 starts with a car wash competition. Who can clean off the truck the fastest, but also the most, but then it switches the most creatively.
Abandon the initial premise.
They abandoned the initial premise, but they kept the original premise in the episode cut. I think maybe they were like, oh, wait, we wanted this to be sexy. And if it's just who can clean it off the fastest, that begs for efficiency. There's no time for, you know, a hair flip when you're just trying to get the job done. So then they're like, okay, now it's about a performance.
And they didn't even handle that part of it that well. Like, I feel like then that would have, they should have just started off with an initial, like, this is a sexy car wash competition. And then like, you could have done like 2 seconds of each person, you know.
But I will say, Amanda, I thought she did a really fabulous job in the competition. She was really giving like Jessica Simpson, if she never made it out of Texas, vibes. She was going for it. She's got a body made for washing cars.
Amanda is, I feel like, a sort of unsung hero of the show, because I don't think she has any connection with Tila, that they are just like two strangers standing next to each other at a bank. But I think she just like provides like a sort of grounding background energy.
Absolutely. I mean, there were a lot of moments, particularly in this. I think she's been funny in all the episodes, but this episode particularly, I feel like, I don't know if she just decided I don't give a fuck, or if she's now even drunker on camera than before. I'm not sure. But there were just a lot of moments where she was making me giggle, most particularly at the elimination ceremony, where she gets her key to Tila's heart. And her reaction is, first she like mimes puking.
I forgot about that.
Which could easily be misconstrued as like, oh, gross, I got picked, I have to continue with this shit show. But it was, no, she was a nervous. And then she goes up to Tila, and Tila's like,
Amanda?
Tila calls my name, and like, seriously, I felt like throwing up. I was sweating. I was getting nervous, like, a lot.
You still have a shot at love. Are you interested?
Yeah, totally.
In some ways, she is kind of the bro of the show.
She is.
She's like, she really just goofing around and just kind of like bumbling her way through things.
Yes. Oh my God. She is the hottest bumbler I've ever, like, you rarely see a hot woman bumbling in quite a fashion. Oh, also, did you notice? I knew she was an Amazon of a woman, but oh my God, in the elimination ceremony, she's like standing above Tila in heels. And I don't know if it was just the camera angle, but I was like, oh my God, Tila would have to climb this woman like a tree.
6'1" in heels, I feel like. She was so tall. I mean, Tila Tequila seems short, but still, like, she seemed quite tall.
I wonder, does a lady that tall want to be with a lady that short? Sound off, gay girls. Because I feel like with hetero relationships, as a woman, do you really love being with a guy who's way taller than you? Let's say you're like 5'2" and he's like 6'4", 6'5". Do you really enjoy that? I'm sure some people do. Or is a big part of it just being tall as a man? It's like a status, like, oh, I'm with a tall guy. I don't know. On some level, if short kings were more the flavor of society, would you prefer to be a little more eye level?
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, would that be actually kind of nice? That's it. It does, because I feel like it does make me think kind of like heteronormative ideas of like, yeah, guys and like how height is prized for guys. And then so my initial reaction, you saying that, was like, oh, I don't know if that really matters. But also maybe it does. I have no idea.
Listen, we don't have the answers right now. We are just posing the questions, and the answers come from your heart, listeners. Mull it over. We'll return to this. But so yeah, one team wins, one team loses.
Decided arbitrarily, it seems.
Exactly. But the winning team goes to Beauty Bar, which is not really like a spa. It's a literal club.
Have you heard of Beauty Bar before this?
Only in the last maybe like 6 months, I was looking up different LA clubs and stuff, and I came across this and I saw the pictures. There are very few pictures to be found of it, but I found a few and I was like, this is my absolute dream club. It is truly the most candy coated. I mean, speaking of desserts, like, it feels truly early 2000s.
Totally. Like a little bit like modish kind of inspired, which I feel like came from kind of the 90s, maybe that kind of rockabilly sort of vibe or something, like a little light touch of that. I have good news for you. There is a Beauty Bar in New York whenever you're here next. And so I'd heard of Beauty Bar a long time ago because there was a small chain of them, which maybe you had read, but I don't know where it started actually, but there was one in Austin where I lived. And I think I was like a little underage at that time, so I don't think I went to that location. But then moving to New York, there was one here. And I don't really know, I haven't been in so long. I'd be curious to know like whether a lot of people are still going or like who the crowd is, because they had one in like Vegas, LA. Like it was such a thing for a minute, I feel like. I think they had like good shows there back whenever. But just today I was like, oh my God, I want to go to Beauty Bar. I looked it up just now. Luckily, they are still open in the East Village. And it looks like they have a Wednesday special where you can get a blue cheese olive martini and a free manicure with your martini. That is so cool. I'm gonna go like as soon as I can.
I'm flabbergasted. Like, it's so, now does the inside look,
yeah, it does from what I remember. Definitely that, yeah, that same vibe, maybe a little less like pink from what I recall. It was, I've been there like twice, and it was always like really dark and really crowded. So I feel like I have trouble recalling the whole ambiance, but it was similar vibe. Maybe not as like pink Y2K, but I think they've kept the ambiance.
Yeah. Yeah. The one in LA that they show on Tila, it reminds me so much of like a John Waters movie or something. Very like Hairspray.
Yeah, you know, I think that's, I would imagine the owner was like inspired by that in some way.
Oh my God. Oh, if I were rich, I would become a restaurateur and I would revive the Beauty Bar LA in LA.
I feel like actually this would be a great time to bring it back. It would sort of speak to like a kind of nostalgic thing that I think would be a draw for the girls. It is funny in the episode that they went there, because at first I thought they were going to more of like an actual like spa type place, but instead it was like kind of just a bar that was closed with some beauty stuff there.
Just like a massage table in the middle of the bar.
The whole thing looks so slapdash. Like they set this up in like 15 minutes.
maybe a real spa was too expensive. You can't come in during the day and film. That's thousands and thousands of revenue down the toilet.
Yeah, totally. They didn't even, they put like some face mask stuff in a cup. And then really, they also, the whole gimmick was just to wax that guy's balls.
Listen, the early 2000s loved to see a man get waxed.
They really did. We really did, even as a people.
It was the one like bit of karma we had against men.
Michael decided to do his balls. That was just so mortifying.
Oh, yeah, I have to look because you know what? I can't do the rest of my life not seeing balls waxed.
Yeah. I'm like, Ashley, seriously, you need to watch this because this opportunity isn't going to come up. Ever again.
Go for it.
So they go to Beauty Bar, which I would say compared to what the losers had to do, like the losers feel like they had a better time. The losers were supposed to sleep outside, but then it just turned into like the losers hanging out with Tila around a campfire eating s'mores.
It was actually like a really nice time. I think they definitely had a better situation.
And then by the end, Tila's like, you don't have to sleep out here. Get in there, you scamps.
There was a few nice moments. I'm kind of forgetting exactly what, but I feel like she did have like a, you know, a few nice tender one-on-ones during that time.
Yeah, she sits down with Brandy because, oh my God, Brandy, with every episode, I ride for that little recovering meth addict, not recovering at this moment in time, probably actively on meth amphetamine. But Tila asks the group generally for someone to make her a s'more. Nobody even reacts. Yeah. Brandy's the only one who does it. And Tila's taken by that. And then they have like a one-on-one moment. And she talks about how she grew up in foster care. And Tila feels like very sympathetic about it. And they kiss. And then Brandy says that she's falling in love with Tila. And you know what? She's the first person who I believe is falling in love.
I feel like I have just sensed no chemistry with Tila and anybody on the show. Does that feel wrong to say?
0% chemistry with every single person. I think she went into this with zero intention that this will ever turn into anything. I feel like she'd be like, I'm not dating one of these idiots in real life. By this point, she had already dated some celebrities. Like before she was even really like Tila, just from being around LA. Like she's not going to suddenly date a real estate agent from Orange County.
It was very striking to me that any one-on-one she has, there's just like, could not be less chemistry to me. With kind of the exception of Ashley, I thought they actually did have some chemistry, which made the end of this episode so shocking. Yes. I don't need to jump ahead.
No, let's get in. I did sense that they had chemistry. And I also noticed that when she had that one-on-one with Ashley and she like had kind of asked everyone at Beauty Bar, what do you like about me? And literally everyone was like, oh, you're hot and a badass. And Ashley is like giving her real reasons why she likes her. But I wonder if part of it is just like the chemistry we were sensing was a sisterly vibe of like, oh, I like this girl, but no way in hell would Tila be picking a virgin.
Yeah, I assumed that was why they let her go, but I was kind of confused by how she introduced it. I think Tila said, like, I'm going to be honest with you. I forget what she said.
Yeah, I think it was just simply she's a virgin. And she was also like, wasn't she like 18? Really young, and she was a virgin.
Oh my God, poor Ashley at the end. Her tears seemed so real, but probably mostly because just of the weird experience of being on that show.
A pressure cooker of stupidity, and her frontal lobe hasn't come in yet. She's just
totally
barely hanging on. But her goodbye.
Tila is my first love. And she is my first love lost.
The next time I find true love, I will be ready. And I'll love even harder.
We didn't get to see their love, but I believe that she felt it in that moment.
I believe her too. You know what?
Yeah.
On this podcast, we believe women.
Exactly.
Okay. And then, this was actually like, we were really getting into, I feel like we got into some legit drama in the episode when Vanessa goes skinny dipping and then Brandy and Amanda are like, this girl's desperate for attention. And then Vanessa starts unabashedly sexually harassing Bobby.
I think what I'm going to do is
Use my sex appeal to kind of get these guys on my ass, get rid of them.
Bobby takes me aside and he starts telling me that, like, Vanessa is hitting on him.
Oh my God. Look at her. She doesn't care. She ain't that naked. She drinks all the time. She's a filthy animal.
Sit down. I want to know now.
You know, you can always have what you want. It sucks, doesn't it?
No, I always have what I want.
Speak for your fucking self.
I'm very nervous. I am speaking for myself. I always get what I want. Are you sexually frustrated because you want to fuck me?
It was so crazy. And I was just like, I felt like somebody just like told her, like, you're going to do this. You're going to do this now. And then that was just like the heel turn for Vanessa.
Yeah. It does really feel like between Ashley getting eliminated last episode and it's like suddenly he's losing his fucking mind. And then this episode, suddenly Vanessa's losing her mind. Were we editing around this previously and now you're showing us their real behavior, or were they getting a little... from producers? I feel like because it was Vanessa, who obviously is a double agent for the show, you know, employed by MTV, that maybe
that's what my feeling. I kind of feel like with Ashley, Guy Ashley from last episode, I kind of feel like he was a volatile, maybe a volatile presence who they needed to find a way to like a reason to kind of write off maybe. And then with her, I feel like Vanessa exactly that, like a casting person who is now like tasked with adding drama to the show. Because it was so abrupt. Don't get me wrong. She seems like, at least at that time in her life, the sort of girl who would absolutely like just hit the shit out of you at a bar. She seems like somebody who has a bad temper, probably in a natural way. But I think they tapped into that energy.
Yeah, I feel like they were also really trying to push the Jersey Shore vibe. Like she was really giving Jersey Shore in this
episode.
Also,
side note, she was wearing such a crazy top at the end.
Oh my God, the top. And also I couldn't deal with the two little buns that she was wearing throughout the episode. I was like, this is not the Vanessa I know. I loved her before. I was riding for Vanessa. And then today it was like, who is this woman?
She seems so like laid back before, and this she was just like popping off left and right.
My God, like when she goes after Brandy, when Brandy's like,
Vanessa, what you're doing to Bobby, if this is true, like that's not cool.
He can sit here all he wants and cry and bitch about how I'm making him feel uncomfortable.
I don't know how many times I have to tell her that, like, I don't like her like that, okay? I'm sorry.
Sorry. Does it make you mad that he wouldn't fuck you, or you...
No, I'm not mad that he wouldn't. I know he wouldn't, and I know what's making me mad is the fact that he won't admit it.
You're, like, two different people right now.
I'm not gonna listen.
Well, you should.
I'm not gonna take this ridicule.
No, don't.
No one's ridiculing you except for your own actions, honey. You caused this on yourself.
What's ridiculing me is bullshit.
Vanessa's got a fuse that's about to go off, and who knows when it's gonna explode.
Go fuck yourself, bitch.
Ooh, baby, you should go fuck yourself.
When she says to Bobby, when Vanessa says, are you sexually frustrated because you won't fuck me? I did guffaw.
That's great. That was a great moment.
I was like, whoa. That was like, ooh, I felt that in my solar plexus. Like I took impact on that one. But yeah, the other competition, we saw another relic of the early 2000s with Tila De Mayo, where we have everyone in a sombrero, which Danny was happy with, because she wasn't forced to wear lingerie for one single challenge, but she did have to wear an appropriative head accessory, also known as a hat.
And another just like ridiculous challenge of like, okay, we abandoned this premise really quickly.
That was like even worse than the Jeeps. At least with the Jeeps, we have some heavy machinery that we have to roll in here. We're taking out a swivel chair and spinning people around and making them carry margaritas. That's something you do at field day in high school.
Doing that would have been hellacious to me.
Oh, both competitions, I was like, this is actually what would make me walk off the set and be like, I'm not interested in furthering this. The bed, bad enough, but now you're asking me to wash a car and get dizzy. Like, no, thank you.
The kind of dirty ambiance of the whole show just makes me feel like somebody got like, what's that water disease, waterborne disease, like giardia, something like that, right?
Giardia? Is that it?
It seems like just a set where somebody got some weird thing like that.
Oh, at least we've got a couple cases of some nasty athlete's foot.
I just want to like be on a strain of antibiotics just watching the show. It just like, it's just the surfaces seem dirty. Not that things are actually dirty, you know, but it's just like the activities they do and like what I'm assuming is just like food being left out for long periods of time and like sleeping together in the same bed. It just all, and all the slickness, they're always so slicked up with various gel and body glitter. It's just like, it's so much for the body.
You're always peeling your hand off of surfaces.
A sticky drink, a spilled body lotion thing.
You're always like, I wonder what this is. And I'm not going to investigate. I'm just going to wash my hand and forget this ever happened.
And one cast member a few weeks after the doctor was like, you have worms. We haven't seen this.
Did you go on an international trip? Like, what's going on here? Oh, no. I just did an MTV dating show. Oh, say no more. Say no more.
We've seen your guide before.
Oh, God. This is not covered by insurance because this is ungodly. Okay. But yeah. And then the girls win this stupid, like, drunk Olympics game. And they go to Senior Fred's with Tila. And pretty much it's just like them talking about Vanessa and Bobby. Tila's pissed because this is supposed to be about her. And then we have the elimination, and like we said, Ashley goes home. This was really surprising to me. Michael goes home. Not that he goes home. Like, I'm surprised he made it this long. But how sad everyone was. I was like, wait, was this guy like a beloved member of the cast? Why is he getting a standing ovation and Tila giving him a long hug and telling him he's going to find love? Like, we never saw this sort of chemistry between him and the cast and Tila.
Yeah, it was a sad moment. And I think that actually probably was genuine. I feel like he was probably just like a guy everybody loved.
Yeah.
And they might have even kept him around longer than he would have normally stayed or something.
It must have been that, because I was like, this feels like a guy who would be eliminated the first episode. And I feel like they even sort of set him up in that way. Like, oh, he lives on his mom's couch. Yeah. Like, of course she's going to send him home. But he stuck around for this long and she's like, you're going to find love.
Michael, I just want to let you know that you have come a long way from when I first met you. Anytime you see a pretty girl pass by, don't let that moment pass you by.
Thank you very much for letting me be here. Guys, I love all of you. You guys taught me a lot. Number one is don't be afraid of who you are, all right? I'm going home a changed man. I'm not going to be afraid anymore. I feel like a hero for all those guys out there that are sleeping on their mom's couch.
Did he go through some sort of identity awakening during this process? Like, I was afraid to be who I was, and through this experience, I know myself now. Like, what happened behind the scenes that they're not showing us?
Totally. And it's funny that they didn't in any other way really touch on that narrative after the first episode. Because I guess the first or second, she was like, you know, you need to not be afraid to let a girl know you like her. So I guess we're just made to assume that he learned his lesson.
That's a profound lesson that we all got to learn in this life.
I hope he learned it in the right way. I hope he's not in jail.
He seems like a nice guy. A good relationship with his mom. He's probably fine. One last thought. I just remembered this. There was absolutely no continuation of Tila riding in the back of an ambulance with Bobby from the previous episode.
Oh, that's true. They kind of briefly flashed on it at the beginning.
Okay. I guess I was like looking down at my Caesar salad wrap and I...
Oh, that sounds good.
It went pretty good.
I would say they ultimately didn't follow up on it. I think they just did like a brief like flashback to it. But I don't know if Bobby, like, did he get hit in the head?
Is he now operating on a diminished IQ? Is he going to be okay? Is it terminal?
We'll never know unless they decide to surprise us in the last episode that he actually had a crazy head injury the whole time.
Yeah, or that he actually died in the hospital and they were Weekend at Bernie-ing him the entire time.
Oh, that would be so cool. Like, actually, he was dead. Which, you know, there's something weird about him. I'll say it. There's like a strange, like, I can't quite I guess I can categorize him in the way that he's like a guy from New Jersey. I don't know. There's like a... not quite as shifty, but something, some vibe that he's giving off. It's like, I don't know who you are.
He's also like the common denominator with all of these fights. He got into a fight with Ashley earlier in the episode saying that
she's still a virgin, never even been with a guy, doesn't even know if she likes guys. It's up in the air.
Why are you even here wasting anyone's time if you don't really know what you want?
All I'm asking is how do you know?
How do I know? How do you know you're straight? Have you ever slept with a guy?
I'm fucking done. I'm done with this conversation.
I completely defended myself. I'm not just saying I like women because I'm afraid of a man. And I should just be able to live my life the way I want to, you know, virgin or not.
Yeah, okay. Because I feel like, you know, I bought into the storyline too much, but I started to feel a little bad for Bobby in it because I was like, Vanessa did like trying to like sabotage him. But now that you reminded me of the scene with Ashley, I'm like, actually, Bobby can kind of go fuck himself too.
Yeah, we don't have to shed a tear for Bobby. Fuck that guy.
We certainly don't.
I mean, also, we don't have to worry about him because he's obviously dead. They're going to like flashback at the end when they reveal it like, oh, wow, he was always standing next to two of the guys, always leaning on them.
Or we'll just like look back and we'll just realize that he didn't exist to begin with.
It was just like the sixth sense and he was a ghost and no one actually interacted with him.
Which that would be so cool too. It really, any of these possibilities would be a movie that I would watch.
And also a better option than him being a real person. Buck Bobby, you know?
Yeah, I know. And God, it was really sad to see Ashley go. Girl Ashley, of course. That was like, I guess it makes sense. But because there has been so little chemistry with these people, I'm very curious to know how things will like figure out as we get fewer and fewer people there, because there won't be as many people for group activity.
That's true. Maybe Teela will be forced to let down her walls and let somebody in.
I hope that is what we're in store for.
I hope so too. And if that was the episode, that was episode 5. Kelsey, can you tell everyone where they can find you on the internet?
Absolutely. Find me at Very Famous Mag on Instagram.
Beautiful. Yeah, this was a treat, a delight. Thank you, Kelsey. I'll see you next time.
See you next time. Hopefully we'll both have a sweet treat in our hands.
I think we should.